Thank you. Good morning, everyone. I have a wonderful portion of scripture that I've been given this morning from Romans chapter 8. It happens to be one of my favorite chapters in the whole Bible. But I want to look at, I want to look at verse 16 and 17, then I'm going to get into the text of which I've been given. In verse 16 it says, "The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are children of God." Hallelujah. "And if children, also heirs also, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Jesus Christ, if indeed we suffer with him, so that we may also be glorified with him." I love this portion of scripture because it tells us in a lot of ways who we are. You know, we're not just, you know, peasants in the house, you know, the slaves in the house. We're sons. And it's so important that we understand that, that we are sons in the house. God wants us to know through his word that he has raised us up to be his sons. And the scripture here really is talking about not just, you know, children, right? We are children of God, but we are also sons of God. Now, the sons that's spoken of here is mature sons. Mature sons. God's raised us up to be mature sons of God. You know, and he wants us to live in that place and from that place, to know exactly the authority that we have, to know the approval that we have, to know the affirmation that we have, to know that God loves us immensely, and that his love for us intensifies when we get closer to him. I love the scripture because it brings us closer to God. It tells us who we are. It gives us the understanding that we are his chosen people. I have a wonderful little shirt that someone bought me recently, and you may have seen it around. It's called The Chosen One. Little cartoon characters. I said to my wife, I might wear that this morning, you know. But, you know, really, we are. We're chosen. And we're chosen for a purpose. We're chosen for God's purposes for our lives. I look at the, you know, the Bible and how it tells us who we are. I look at the times when I see people that we have come across in the past and in the present. People with such a heavy anointing on them. People with such a positive anointing upon them. And you think, I want to be like that. Well, yeah, I got news for you. God wants you to be like that. God wants you to be like that. You see, God's anointing is for us. God's revelation of who we are is for us, that we might walk in the presence of God, knowing and understanding who we are through that revelation of being chosen by him. I often hear great stories of men like Smith Wigglesworth and people of great faith. And my strong desire is, Lord, I want to be more like that. I want to be more like that. Reinhard Bonnke, I want to be more like that. I want to be more like that. And I said, God, what holds us back? What holds us back from becoming that way? And you know what the Lord said to me? The Lord said to me, you do. You're your own worst enemy. You hold yourself back. Why? Because inside, do you really believe who you are? Do you really believe from my word, what my word says about you? Do you really believe it deep within? Because we limit ourselves and we limit God in our understanding. And when we don't see the things that we want to see, we explain it away. Instead of going to God and saying, God, what is going on? Why is it we aren't seeing the things we want to see? Why is it we're not seeing the volume of healings and miracles that we want to see? was raised in the time, and I got to tell you, I was raised in the time of what was called the strong healing movement from the late 40s and the 1950s. I grew up on the front row of the church where there were healings that happened constantly. My own sister had a huge goiter on the side of her neck, and someone prayed for her and it just, bow, disappeared like that. You know, my own brother fell from a windmill 30 feet up, landed on a 2x4, had a 16-penny nail sticking up through it, right through his skull, died in the house. My mom and some of her friends began to pray and seek God and began to call out to God, and God raised him up.
Wow.
And when he went into the army at 18, they wanted to put a steel plate in his head. He said, no, I've lived all this time without it. I don't need it. Because God healed him. God resurrected him from the dead. See, I've seen those things, and my heart's cry from the down here and there, Lord, I want to see it again. I'm not happy with this life that we have, you know, just going home, you know, every day. God, where are the miracles? Where are the healings? You know, God's been speaking to me about, I want to reveal myself in my children. I want to reveal myself through them. And he wants us to take off the limitations. You see, whether we know it or not, we often place limitations on God. We speak things, and you've got to be careful. We really have to be careful what we say. Are you aware of that? You have to be careful what you say. You say, well, what difference does it make? You know, you've heard the expression, oh, it scared me half to death. You know, be careful. You know, it's just like you can use things, but you can confess things over yourself that aren't true. You're not really confessing what God says. You're confessing things that you see, and you're responding out of things that you see, and God doesn't want us to respond that way. Now, I better move on, otherwise I'll get stuck here. It's one of my favorite subjects. I love to preach and teach about the presence of God, because I have seen things in the realm of the Spirit that I could tell you about all day long, but I want to see it right here in this place. I want to see it. I want to see people walk in this place, and the presence of God is so strong and manifested so strong that they fall on their face before God and repent of their sins in the parking lot. Why not? You know, the presence of God. We carry the presence of God. I want you to understand that. You know, you're not just some human being that has an average life. You carry the presence of God. When you understand that you carry the presence of God, you live in the presence of God, because God is with us. God is for us. God wants us to understand that. Moving on to verse 18, for I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that is to be revealed to us. How about in us? The glory that is to be revealed to us and in us. You see, I better carry on. Just let me get there, okay? For the anxious longing of the creation waits eagerly for the revealing of the sons of God. Listen, for the creation was subjected to futility, not willingly, but because of him who subjected it in hope. When Adam fell, it affected everything. You see, God had a different plan. God's plan for Adam was that he would be a perfect son, that he would live out his life in perfection, but he fell, and when he fell, it affected all of creation. And so all of creation is longing for the revelation or the revealing of the sons of God. Who are they? It's us. It's us. You see, I know there's a dual fulfillment here. There's the revealing of the sons of God that will come in glory later on, but there's also revealing of the sons of God now. Who are we? Do we understand who we are? You know, and God wants to reveal to everyone who his people are. Who his people are. I want you to sense the presence of God, because God is here in a special way, you know, and he wants to reveal himself to you. He wants to show you who you are. He wants to lift you up, and he wants to want you to know and to see the depth of his love for you, how much he loves you, how much he wants to pour out upon you all of his blessings, all that he has for you. He wants that for you. He longs to do that. And he wants us to come into that place where we know and understand who we are because of him. You see, it's all because of him. I've been taking communion recently with my wife, and we take it daily. And every time I go to take communion, I'm reminded of everything that Jesus did for us. Everything Jesus did for us. When he went to the cross, he took our sins. You know, really what happened was he took our place. That should have been us that was receiving the beating. It should have been us that was hanging on the cross. But he took it for us. He went there in our place. And we need to understand the depths of that, and how much he loves us, and how much he wants us to know that love and sense that love that he has for us. Because when he paid the price for our sins, it covered everything. It covered everything. You know, Jesus, let me just say this, Jesus has already done everything for you that he needed to do. We need to know that. He's already done it. It's been accomplished. When he said it is finished, it was finished. Everything that needed to be done was done. Now, I believe that he wants us to know that individually in our hearts. He wants us to know that. But he doesn't just want us to know it. He wants us to live in it and walk in it. You know, we walk in the Spirit. We walk by the Spirit, not by flesh. We are privileged because we've been given the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit comes and indwells in us. And through him indwelling in us, he reveals to us everything we need to know about God. Everything we need to know about who we are. And oftentimes we don't take advantage of the fact that we have him dwelling within us. And we need to go to him. You know, when we hear things that disturb us and we hear things that upset us, we need to go to him and say, God, what do you say about this? What is your take on this? Because that's what he wants us to do. He wants us to live in and out of that place so that we know and understand. You know, God wants us to see things from his perspective. He's called us to see things and see things from his perspective. Verse 21, that the creation itself also will be set free from its slavery to corruption into the freedom of the glory of the children of God. Freedom. We often hear that word, freedom. And what does it mean to be free? It means to be free from sin. Free from sin. You say, but I'm a sinner. Yep. But you don't have to live there. You don't have to stay there. The enemy would love to keep us there. He would love to just come and put things on us and bring us under everything, you know. That's not where God wants us to live. God wants us to live in the freedom of who we are, the freedom that we've been set free, the freedom that he's come to bring us. to walk in that place of freedom, to walk in that place of wholeness, to walk in that place where we hear his voice and we walk according to what he says. We hear what he says and we trust in him. We put our trust in him, not in what we see, not in the circumstances around us. This is called faith, isn't it? We don't walk by sight, but we walk by what we see through the Spirit of God. God wants us to live in that place with him, where we see things from his perspective. You know, the Bible talks about it all the time. In Isaiah, he says, you will mount up with wings like eagles. What does that mean? You know, mount up with wings like eagles. And then in Colossians, he says that he's called us up to sit with him in the heavenly realms. And what he's saying is that God wants us to see things the way he sees them. And he wants to bring us up to that place in him. And I want to challenge you with this. I want you to understand that God has a higher place to take you to. He has a higher place to take you to. And if you're not there yet, don't give up. You will get there. You know, I promise you that. You will get there. Keep trusting in him. Keep putting your faith in him. He will raise you up to that place where you begin to see things the way he sees them. Verse 22 says, for we know that the whole creation groans and suffers the pains of childbirth together until now. And we can see the signs of childbirth coming all around us. Do you see it? Do you see it? Do you see that all the earth and all of what's going through is the pains of childbirth, because something is coming. Something is coming. Something that the world longs to see. It longs to see the revelation of the sons of God who know and walk and live out of who they are and who the Spirit of God has spoken to them. This is who you are. This is who you are. This is the authority you have. You see, when God created Adam, what did he tell him? He gave him authority over everything. Gave him the authority over all the realms of earth. You think God wants to restore that? That's a part of the restoration process. God wants to restore us to that place so that we live from there, not living from what we see. And you can always see things that will stop you in your tracks, so to speak. But if you take the blinders off and begin to see the way God wants you to see, it won't stop you. Nothing will stop you, because you're not satisfied until you're living in that place with him. And that's where he wants us to be. So, now over to the incredible Ricky. Come on, brother.
How awesome is that? I always feel a bit guilty, because whenever I'm tap preaching or something, because I get nervous, I'm always feeling like, oh, I don't do too much, because I sound rubbish. I'm like known as the church crier, and someone's left these in here, it's very funny. When I was first reading through this, when it came up for me in talking to the preach, I was reading through it, and I don't know if you ever read a piece of scripture and you're trying to get in your head and it's just not happening. Like, it might as well have been in Chinese, and I was just reading over and over and over it. And also, Brother Tom came over on Thursday and just said a couple of simple things. So I was just like, how awesome is it having wisdom around you? How awesome is it having these awesome brothers and sisters around you? Just completely unpack it for you. It was Independence Day, American brother, Sheldon Rising, Lions with athletes. Yeah, it was awesome. So, I'm going to speak to you today from verse 23 onwards. Not only so, we ourselves, who are the first fruits of the Spirit, grown inwardly, yeah, as we wait eagerly for our adoption into sonship and the redemption of our bodies. For in this hope we were saved, yeah, for hope that is seen is no hope at all. Who hopes what they already have? Or if we hope for what we do not yet have, we wait for it patiently.
Amen.
When I was reading through it, and I was reading about the first fruits of the Spirit. The Lord has spoken to me how awesome it was that Jesus, you know, left us with the Holy Spirit.
And, amen.
You know, it talks about all of the awesomeness that the Holy Spirit brought. In Galatians 5, it says that love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. You know, it's awesome. I love hearing it when we're at home, and, you know, Seeker's got the kids' prayers on and stuff, and you hear the love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And I was like, every time I hear it, like, it's just awesome, because these are the amazing things that God left us with, these first fruits of the Spirit, you know. And even if that was all that we had, the things that can be unpacked in there, the amazing things in life.
Amen.
Even if it was just the first three, love, joy, and peace, how awesome would it be?
Amen.
And one of the things that jumped out at me was the first fruits. You know, this is what we've got now. What are we going to get? If this is what we've got now, what are we going to get when Jesus comes
back? Amen.
If this is the first bit, this must be all we can have. You know, as in our human body, the human mind, so this must be pretty much all we can have at the moment. And it just gets me really excited for what's going to happen, you know, when Jesus comes back and when we get this, the second fruit of the Spirit. You know, I wonder what song we're going to be singing then. It just gets me really excited. And when I was reading through, when we came to the part of the adoption, the sonship, well, at the moment, as a lot of you will probably know, our man team was like best friend, Chris and Joe. They're currently going through the adoption process, and, you know, they've just been on this amazingly tough journey, and, you know, over the last years, and we've been praying with them, it's just been, you know, a little bit up and then down, and then a little bit up and then down and down and down, and, you know, watching them walk through it, it's just been, there's been so much prayer and tears and stuff going into it. But now, you know, finally, they've gone through the adoption process, and, you know, they went and they put the name down for it, and they went and they looked at some of the you know, eligible children, and put the name in the hat. And as they've gone through the process, you know, God's just absolutely swept them through it faster than any of us expected. You know, and now they're as of this week, they're going through the introduction with this beautiful, healthy, gorgeous little girl. And, you know, as the introductions are happening now, you know, they signed all the paperwork a while back, and then, you know, on paper and, you know, in the documents, it was all legal then. But until now, you know, until this beautiful little girl came in the house and they started living together and they started getting to know each other and they started, you know, living as a family. It was just on the paper, and, you know, it's the same for us when Jesus died and we were saved. You know, we were adopted into sonship. You know, in order to receive the full of that, we have to do the same thing. We have to go into Jesus' house. We have to live with him. We have to bond with him. We have to spend time with him. We have to get to know him. You know, it's awesome having that paperwork, and it's awesome having him on there. But, you know, the best thing we can do with it is just live in the full of it. You know, actually live in that house and have that connection, that bond, and, you know, live as a family with him. Because,
amen,
when that happens, all of the awesome stuff that comes after it, it's just going to be great. And I think we can imagine, like, them second fruits we were talking about earlier. And when it was talking about the redemption of our bodies, this is something I've had a bit of trouble with over the years. You know, obviously when Adam fell and we got eligible for sickness, our bodies, you know, they became subjected to, you know, sickness, illness, disease, and all things like that. And, you know, as a Christian, you understand and you receive that you're going to get this heavenly body, where the enemy still used our earthly bodies to attack us. And, you know, like when me and Secret first got together, something just came over me. You know, I just got, because I'd always been a little bit like carefree and stuff like that. But, you know, when me and Seeker got together and I kind of knew I was going to have this family, I started getting like, ooh, I want to live this life. I want to be healthy, and I want to be here for a while. I want to have a family. I want to grow old. I want to be a granddad and a dad and all this sort of stuff. And the enemy just started using it against me. You know, using my fallen body against me. So I just started getting worried all the time. You know, I'd get a headache, and I'd be like, oh no, I've got, you know, something seriously wrong with me, and I started getting anxiety, so I was getting chest pains, and honestly, I literally turned myself into a hypochondriac, and I'm not joking. So I started getting these like palpitations and stuff, twice I was in James Cook, hooked up to an ECG machine, I think it was my last day. I started getting headaches, I was sent in for a brain scan, honestly, all sorts, and it started getting on top a little bit, and it was upsetting to see her when she was saying to me, you're protected by God. You know, you're living in this blessed body, this blessed life, and you're going to heaven, and
amen.
You're going to get your new body, and you're back in England, get married soon. So, I'm feeling kind of stuff. Inside, I was still just going nuts. So we got married, and went on our honeymoon, and I was kind of like, play it cool on the honeymoon. Inside, I was just like, I'm getting chest pains, I'm getting headaches, I'm getting this, I'm getting that, I'm getting the other. And we went to Cape Verde. But on the outside, I just had like a little more. So it wasn't too bad. And then when we get to the airport coming home, we were tired and a little bit hot, and there was no roof over the top of the where we were sitting in the airport, and we had this dodgy pizza and stuff. And I went and looked on the wall, and there was like a sign in African, and you can't like work out where it was of all the pictures. It was for at the time when Ebola was kicking around. Obviously, I'm in Africa at the time. So I look, and it's like, you know, I've got a photo of someone holding the head, I'm like, I've got a headache. And it's got a little Africa. I was like, oh no, I need to go to the bathroom. So I went to the bathroom, and I was like, the main one was this person like projectile vomiting. So I was like, I haven't been sick, I think I'm alright. So I got on the plane, and I was thinking, this air on the plane just going to be spreading my board at all these people. And honestly, I was so embarrassed. I was like, I'm not this walk, no, I haven't been sick yet. So we get home. And we go back to our house, and our awesome friends have been in, they've tidied our house for us, and made our bed for us while we were in the new stuff we left in there. And I lied down on the bed, and I was just like, right, you can relax now, you're home. And then all of a sudden, my stomach just turned, and one of the bathroom just puked it all over the place, and I was like, oh, I'm dead. That's it, that's pretty cool. So, Seeker was like, no, you've had a dodgy pizza, you've been traveling, you're fine, you know, like, pizza, you're living this, don't be scared, God's got you. And I'm like, all right. So I lied there, and my brain was working, I was just like, if I haven't got Ebola, then that's fine. But if I have got it, I don't know anything about it, and everyone's going to give it to so, in reality, I should probably just go and get myself checked out. So like, we see the lad, I tapped him on the shoulder, she goes, go. So my dad in my car, so I walked and looked at all the other James Cook, and was praying all the way there, just like, what's going on, and I'm waiting in the queue, and I've got four people back, and I'm waiting and going forward, and I get to the front, and I'm like, can I take your name, and you're like, yeah, what's the matter with you? And I'm like, I've had headaches and sickness, and I've been sick, and I've got eye-ache, and somebody blah, blah, and she was like, so. And then literally, right next to me on the wall was the Ebola poster in British. And she's like, so what's the matter with me? And I was poster. And she was like, that's in Africa. And I was like, I just flew in from Africa this morning. So she's like, what? So next thing you know, honestly, talking about being literally in quarantine, in James Cook Hospital, in this room, with white sheets, lady comes in, has been over to Africa, would be, doing all the work with Ebola, with a mask on, and taking blood and stuff. And I'm like, there, just like, I've been married for 2 weeks, I'm already dead, I can't believe it. that's where I was living in, because, you know, when the enemy gets in, when he uses the fall to get us, that's what we can live in. We don't have to, we don't have to live in that fear. And over the years, I've prayed and just really grafted it to get to a stage now where I'm fine. Like, I had to see the ticket to the doctors. I haven't been for ages. I haven't been for a few years, and I'm finally getting on with it. But 1 Corinthians 15:49, and just as we have bore the image of earthly man, so shall we bear the image of a heavenly man.
Amen.
If that's you today, if you have fear and anxiety and worry about sickness, don't just give it to God. The battle's already been won. We've already got our earthly body waiting for us. It's miles better than the body we've got now. No more gym and broccoli and running and stuff. We've got these perfect bodies anyway. And he's got waiting for us, And that's the hope we need to live in. We need to live in the hope of all these things that I've been speaking about previously, the fruits that are coming. The adoption, the sonship, when we're going to be in God's family, we're going to be living with for eternity, the redemption of our bodies, no more sickness, no more illness, no more fear.
Praise God.
That's the hope we can live in. And, that's something that we don't have yet. Hope is something that's in the future. And in order for us to hope for these things, we need our faith. You know, we have to have faith in Jesus. We have to have faith in what he's done, faith in what he's promised us in the Word.
Amen.
And, you know, I had a bit of a fight with it first. You know, like, I was like, God, I'm hoping for all these things, but none of it's happening. Mm-hmm. when I was first saved. You know, the first thing that God ever said to me, I was saved, and I went to the Alpha course, and the first word I ever received, someone came over to me, and they laid hands on me, and they said, you know, God's told me to tell you, you're going to be a husband, you're going to be a father. And I was just like, wow. You know, like literally from that day, I felt like a husband. I felt like I had a ring on my finger. I felt like I had kids, but I didn't. You know, I didn't have a wife. I didn't have no kids or anything. But in my heart, I had it. You know, that was the hope that I had. That was my hope for the things that were unseen. Mm-hmm. You know, we've all got these things that we're hoping for, that we're asking God for, but they are in the future. They're unseen. And, you know, you need to go the right way about it. You know, and I completely think, you know, as soon as he said to me, you know, you're going to be a husband, and you're going to be a father, I opened my eyes and I was like, right, where is she? And I'm looking at the church, where's that? No, not you, it's not you, not me. You know, I was going through these things, I was trying to grasp it myself, you know, I was really trying to go through these things myself. And, you know, when we do go for things we hope in our own strength, in our own man. Yeah. You know, just go the complete wrong way about it. You know, I had so many ups and downs of it where, you know, it just really saddened me, you know, because all of the things that I was promised, I'd watch all my friends get, you know, like my friends Tony and Ben and Matty Groutman and Matty Horner and Will Horton, all my closest friends, I think there was about 7 or 8 of us, and one by one, was what, engaged, married, kids. I was watching everyone just living this promise that God gave me. And you know what, it really upset me. It was really, really hard for me to see, you know, even to the point where I was at Abby Dunkley and Matt Horner's wedding, and I was sat there, and I was that annoyed that, you know, the final domino had fell, the person I felt was living in my promise. And then I feel like the third time of worship, I was just like, you know what, I can't take this no more. I'm not watching anybody else living the promise you've given me. You're not giving me it. And I got up and I walked out my friend's wedding and went home. And just going about it in a complete wrong way. You know, but I didn't know how to go about it, you know. Mm. Sometimes when we have these hopes, even if it's a hope from God, we can go about it in a complete wrong way.
Yeah.
And, you know, when I've been trying for all this for 7 years, you know how it finally come around? You know how God finally gave me all of my dreams and all of the things that I prayed for, all these things that I'd spent hours on my knees for praying? Matthew 6:33, but seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and then all these things are beginning to do as well. You know, and that's what we need to do.
Yeah,
all
amen.
These things that we hope for.
Amen.
All these things that aren't yet here, good, aren't seen. You know, we can't get them by striving for them. We can't get them. We don't even know what they are. Yeah. You know, I'm looking on that church, where's my wife? Where's my wife? She's in Estonia. That's the hope we need to live in. That God knows best. God's got a plan, and you know, no matter where it is, if we're looking at all these things that we want, and we're trying to strive towards them, you know, we might as well be in quicksand. You know, the more we move, the deeper we're going to go.
Yeah.
You know, what we need to do is we need to turn away from it and just look at God and just say, you know what, God, I'm going to seek first your kingdom and your righteousness, and you know what, if it's his will, all these things are going to be given to us as well.
Yeah.
And you know, I just want to pray for us just before we end. You know, if there's something that you're seeking, you know, if there's something that God's got on your heart,
amen.
If there's something that you've been trying to claw for yourself over the last, you know, X amount of days, weeks, months, years, I just want to pray for you. I just want to encourage you, you know, that if you do turn, if you do give it to God, if you do seek first his kingdom, then all of these things that you want are going to be given to you as well. You know, it's awesome to have that hope, you know.
Amen.
Something that we get spoke of to have in the Bible, you know, it's something God tells us to have, but we need to have it in the right way. So, if that's you, I just want to pray, Lord, please help all of us in this room, Father, God, to put these hopes in the right place, Father.
Amen.
Help us, Father God, to trust you, you know, we can go towards these things because these are the things we want and we think they're the best, Lord. Help us to come towards you, Lord, and seek first your kingdom.
Amen.
And if it's in your will, Lord, all the desires that my brothers and sisters have got, all the things they've hoped for and dreamed for, you know, just like I had, and just like Chris and Joe had with the kid, Lord, you'll do it in your way, in your time, Lord. Bless these people, Father, Lord. Help them to run towards you. Help them make a decision to, you know, turn away from what they want and turn towards you, Father, Lord, and run to you, because that's the only way they'll truly ever get us. Bless this congregation, Lord. Bless the hearts of people who have these hopes. Help them come towards you, Father, so that we fully receive these things.
Amen.
In your mighty name.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.